everyone. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Margaret Gray.
And I'm General Gavin Shaw. We'll be covering the Boston Marathon. In part, there was a fist fight at a baseball.
Well, it's not a fist fight.
Well, yes, it was a fist fight at a baseball. We're going to do that. And Bud?
Yeah, and a lot of other stuff, too, on a Phil Hendry Show. Everybody stick around. Phil Hendry Show live from El Pacifico in California coming up right now here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the El Pacifico.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were just watching a videotape of a fist fight between the Brewers and the Pirates. But I want to congratulate Mumblix Grumpf, username Mumblix Grumpf. You know, we go by usernames around here. If you're a BSP, then you become someone else. You become a thing. You're no longer a human to us. We don't care. You're a thing. No, that was a cat's username from Tacoma, Washington. So very good of you to be joining us there, Mumblix Grumpf. He won the very first iPad giveaway this week. And the question that he won it on was question number 5. We'd burned through 4 of the questions.
Well, I don't know. A lot of those questions, I'm not really familiar with the ins and the. I'm not familiar with the minutiae of this show.
Yeah, well, you are. You just don't want to pretend that you are.
What did you say?
Yeah, you are. You just think you're cooler if you don't. Yeah, you don't want people to think you do.
I beg your pardon. What are they saying?
Well, all right, so what is your point, Bud?
She thinks she's cooler looking to the ladies that she goes to the lady events with if she don't know a lot about the show.
That is an absolute bald-faced lie. I demand you apologize now.
No, because you don't...
I demand you apologize now or I'll take your throat right out of your neck. Now do you apologize?
Wait, whoa. Hey, wait. Hold on.
Yeah, you can't even catch me.
I don't care.
All right, well, so now wait, just what is the issue here?
She doesn't know anything about the show because
Because of the ladies that I have lunch... I know everything there is to know about this show.
Well, do you try to pretend to people that you don't? Because I guess the guys are saying you're embarrassed to be on the show.
Phil, that hurts. That really does.
All right. Well, it may hurt, but I'm asking you. Are you embarrassed to be on the show?
No, I am not embarrassed. Does that answer your question? No, I am not. Do I need to parse out my words? Do I need to be careful? All right.
Oh, Margaret, no.
No, General, hold on. Do I need to be careful when I am with certain women? Phil, you know Megan Abcock. You know her, don't you?
I've never heard of her.
Well, that's a filthy lie.
Margaret, I don't please characterize what I say as a filthy lie. I've never heard of her.
You've never met Megan Abcock. Never.
Never, no.
Megan Abcock, A-B...
I know, I've never met her.
Well, she happens to be very influential with many of the functions, the entertainment liaisoning that she does and so on and so forth. She disapproves of how weird you are. All right, now those are her words, not mine. And she said to me...
Wait, I got to get this. Let me get rid of my gum.
Yeah, see, you talk about class.
Jim, Mr. Andy, throw the gum away.
That's what I'm going to do, is throw the gum away. Hold on.
Well, there you go. Put it in the trash can with... Oh, God.
Phil, that you just threw it. There's no trash liner in there.
I don't care. I've got to get rid of it. Megan Abcock disapproves of how weird I am.
No. That's not... I put it the wrong way. She... When I said that I was on your show, one eyebrow arched, which, you know, is body language for... Are you serious? Are you putting me on? What has happened to you? And so forth. So I said, well, I think it's fun. It gives me a chance to publicize many of the things that we're involved in. She shook her head. You know, we didn't speak much the rest of the day. I'm told she went home from work with some sort of intestinal disorder, which I put down to the fact that she found out that I'm on your show. I don't know.
Well, that's the biggest load of hokum I've ever heard in my life.
What are you calling me, a liar?
Yeah, we're calling you a liar. Megan Abcock.
Is that right?
Hey, wait, hold on, bud. It ain't no we here. I'm not calling you a liar. I just don't believe that the woman went home from work with an intestinal problem because you told her that you work on my show. And I don't believe that the eyebrow arched. She may not approve of the show.
No, it's not that she doesn't approve of the show. It's the way the show is done. She thinks you're a real weird one. As she put it, she said, oh, Phil Henry, he's a bit... Is there something wrong? There was concern. I wouldn't say it was disdain. There was more of a concern. She talked to me well, I think, into the afternoon, with one hand on my arm, looking very seriously into my eyes. I felt...
Oh, I see. So she wants to know, are you okay?
Well, am I okay? Are you all... You know, what is this?
What do you tell her, Margaret? You know, we've heard about Megan Babcock.
Megan Abcock. People make that mistake. It's not Babcock. A-B.
All right, Margaret, I heard that. God almighty. Turn these headphones down, will you? What happened? She goes, oh, God.
All right, yeah, well, all the headphones are too loud.
I said Megan Abcock.
All right, what is this? Abcock, what's the story?
All right, forget about the background on this thing. So what's the bottom line here, okay? Are you embarrassed about being on this show, or are you not?
I'm not embarrassed about being on the show with some people. Yes, I am.
Yeah, see? That's the same thing.
You know something, bud? I will not forget this. You called me out on the show. You held me up for ridicule. I stand here toweling off, looking for my thong underwear. God, dude.
Yo, God!
What do you think? Y'all, I got a porn shoot?
I gotta walk this one off. I really gotta walk it off. Goddamn.
Margaret, where are you going?
I'm walking it off with the...
She's walking it off?
Yeah. Well, if you're going to walk it off, you might as well walk bow-legged the way that...
Where you...
Hey!
One of these days, you won't be here, Phil. That dies, and then I'm on the run.
She sounded... Margaret, you sound a little bit like the Omar Sharif from Lawrence of Arabia.
What do you mean?
I don't know, there's a line in there. He says, that? He's pointing to the guy that he just shot as being a... All right, so what's the... I could care less, man, what the problem is there. She's embarrassed about being on the show. All right, so anyway, the winner is of the... Was that how that started? I don't know. Mumble-ex-grumps. More iPads to be given away later on in the week. Welcome to the show. And it was a fine weekend that I had. I hope you guys did as well. I was hoping that this weekend would be one of rest and relaxation and rehabilitation. But unfortunately for me, something's going on, man. I need drugs. I need big, heavy-duty drugs.
Phil, I'm telling you, go down that road. You're going down the Marilyn Monroe Road. Now, don't do it, Phil.
Yeah, but what they find you... I mean, you don't want to OD.
I'm not going to OD, okay? I'm not a pill head. Do you understand that? I'm not a pill head. I'm not even an addictive personality. I'm not an addictive person. That much I know. The only thing, even cigarettes, I was able to give up cigarettes. I mean, the last real problem I had.
You smoked so many cigarettes. You got to pneumonia. I'm not pneumonia, but you went in for pneumonia.
You went in for pneumonia, man. You can go for pneumonia.
Well, you know, I beg to differ.
Wait a minute, Dickman. It's called pneumonia. You understand?
I had pneumonia, and that was from, yes, smoking too much. It was from, I was run down. Let me tell you what put me in the hospital. I hadn't gotten any sleep. I was run down. I remember I had just gotten done doing that damn Christmas carol. I think that's why we haven't done that Christmas carol since, in the 4 years that have elapsed or whatever it's been, because no sooner had I done that, and then we replayed it again on Christmas Eve. The next day, I was a sick animal. I wasn't even recognizable as a human being. I was a sick animal.
Oh, for God's sake.
What, are you back?
But you don't...
But what? Have a little respect, okay?
You don't talk to me any way you want. You understand? Scoring your little points here.
No.
Yeah, bud, what's up with you?
I just feel, you know, that I should be more... I gotta get up in her face a little more.
Go ahead. You want to get up in my face? Come on. Bring it.
Forget it.
Uh-huh.
Well, you guys, I'm telling you, you're right. There will be a bloodletting here. There will be a fight, just like that Pittsburgh Pirate fight.
Hey, what happened with that? I saw the young man getting all...
That pitcher came over and said, you look like you suck wieners.
Hey, what are you talking about?
We just saw a fight break out here. It was a replay of a fight that broke out between the Pirates and the Brewers over the weekend. It looked like it was in Pittsburgh because the Pirates were in their home uniform. Anyway, one of the Brewers is up to the plate, Gomez. The pitcher is Cole for the Pirates. Cole feeds him one. I don't know. It wasn't a very good pitch. And Gomez got a hold of this thing. And what happened was, as far as we could tell, is...
Gomez, he's looking at it almost like he's going to kind of walk around the path.
Yeah, he's looking at it like, yeah, she's gone.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, General?
Well, you don't want to humiliate a man like that. When you're the pitcher of a baseball team and you threw a guy the big fat, just a juicy fat changeup, and he got all of it, and then some. He got not only all of it, he got a little bit of your family members, he got your home. You know, he's hitting everything out of the park, not just the ball. You, your wife.
Okay, that's a little floral, but go ahead.
Well, but the point is, after he hit the ball deep, 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 and remember, what was a man, I love him so very much, Vin Scully. Remember Vin, Phil?
Yeah, Vin Scully. Going, going, gone.
Yeah, there we go. Going, going, gone. Well, it was almost going, going, gone.
This was Vin Scully.
No, it wasn't Vin Scully.
Let me do it. The guy hit the ball.
No, I'll do it. The guy hit the ball.
Deep.
Deep. And then the guy
hit the ball, this Gomez, hit the ball deep to center field, over the head of the center field. It was a very good hit ball, well hit ball. And apparently he did what you would call the home run trot. He started into the home run trot. It's a very slow trot as you are looking to see if the ball's going to go out. Generally, that's a trot that a hitter goes into when he's pretty sure the ball's... I mean, you got to be absolutely sure the ball's out. And most of the 99.999% of the time, they are. They begin that trot, they see that ball, it's gone.
Well, I remember the great Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson, great example.
Reggie Jackson, you knew when he did that little sort of, oh... And Reggie was so majestic with the swing of that bat, you know?
Yeah, Reggie Jackson, that guy's a show-off.
You nuts or something, man? Reggie Jackson's the best.
Yeah, but he's all like, hey, look at me, man. You know, and another thing about Reggie Jackson,
designated hitter?
He's a designated hitter.
Well, what does that mean?
It means he didn't play on defense. He was simply the hitter. No, he wasn't. Not for most of his career. He was a regular playing fielder as well as a hitter. But yeah, the home run trot.
Well, I think Reggie Jackson was majestic, but no, I don't think he ever went into the home run trot when the home run trot was not what you should go into.
You don't go into the home run trot unless you're pretty damn sure the ball is going. Who's the guy again, Phil?
Vin Scully.
I know, all right. Jesus, give me a break, will you? You know, poor Vinny, I love Vin Scully, but I don't know how much more... Can't believe it.
Oh, General, what's wrong?
I don't know how many more games you're going to do.
General, you're getting emotional.
I love Vin Scully, you know?
Yeah, Vin Scully is good.
Well, what are you guys crying about?
Well, we don't know how many more games you're going to play.
What are you guys bawling about how many more... Vin Scully is fine. He's doing the ball games.
But Vin is, what is he, 100?
Not 100. He's in his 80s. Let me tell you something. Men are vital and active and are, especially in broadcasting, well into their 80s. Paul Harvey was doing a gig. Paul Harvey signed his, I always make the point that Paul Harvey signed a 10-year deal with ABC in his 80s.
Yes, and then died within the year of signing it. Oh!
Well, yeah, thanks for bringing that up, though. You know.
Yeah, Phil, the next time you want to bring up an example of a vital man working well into his 80s, try to avoid the Paul Harvey... God damn, man.
All right, but the point is, he was doing his thing well into his senior years. So Vin Scully is... So Vinny would have done the whole going, going, gone?
Yeah, what's it? Going, going, she's gotten out of here.
No, he said she's out of here.
All right. And then there was Mel Allen.
Who?
Mel Allen was... Don't go who. Mel Allen was a New York Yankee announcer, okay?
Well, Phil, we're from California.
You're from Pittsburgh, as a matter... You're from Harrisburg, right?
I don't know. I knew Bob Prince. Do you know him?
Yeah, Bob Prince was another good one. He'd say, and the ball is... And it's going into the... It's screaming... What did Bob Prince say, Phil?
I don't know what Bob Prince's home run call is. The good ones always had their home run calls, you know? Mel Allen, Mel Allen would say she's gone. Vin Scully would say, back to the track, she's gone.
Well, it sounds like Mel Allen stole it from Vin Scully.
No. The other way around. Vin Scully, I don't think he stole anything. Mel Allen is, Mel Allen was, she's gone. And Vinny's is, hit deep to center, back goes so-and-so, away back, on the track, at the wall, she's gone.
And why she? This is another thing.
Don't worry, Margaret. It's not a slam on a woman.
Well, why is everything a she? Why is a ship a she? Why is a plane she? You know, a baseball?
Yeah, because it's out of respect. When a boat is sunk, well, I shouldn't say.
Not because the boat is sunk. It's just the fact that boats, planes, I don't know. Everything is a female. We turn everything into a female. You know, the hurricanes, they used to call strictly by female names until someone said that's very sexist. I can't wait for someone to start saying, can we start calling boats and, you know, he and stuff like that?
That doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's to refer to a ship as she is very respectful, and there's something about a ship and an aircraft as well, but particularly a ship, referring to a ship as in the female gender is there's a magnificence to it. There is a beauty to it. There's a strength. It's almost like mother, you know?
Well, I don't. That sounds kind of far out to me.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, folks, Phil Henry Show. Oh, you know what, Alex? If I see Alex is going into the upload computer.
Yeah, but tell Alex about what it's about.
Hey, Alex, if you can hear me, man, you're going to the upload computer. The classic podcast is, it's the, R.C. Collins wants to listen to Eminem, and he thinks that he's all that in a bag of chips. I don't know, dude. Maybe he'll, I know what Alex generally does is just listens to the, he listens to the podcast and then he goes for it. I had another great idea I thought that would be a cool for the website to begin to sell volumes of the podcast, the classic podcast. What do you think?
You mean the
351 we have so far.
Well, I don't know, Phil. That's strictly for the BSPs, you know.
Well, no, but I'm saying we could sell them in volumes. Volume one, you know, volume two, the way they do the...
Doggone, I kind of, the way they do the King of Thrones or King of Hearts or whatever.
You mean House of Cards?
Yeah, House of Cards.
All right, Phil Henry Show. We're going to come back here with a couple of bits of news. Margaret, I know you got Captain America news.
Yes, we're going to talk. Bob Bakian, by the way, is out over the Boston Marathon, so we'll be hearing from him, right, bud?
Yeah, I got Bob Bakian, and he also has helicopter sound effects in case his helicopter is not working good. I know that that's probably weird.
Then Arc Riego 2. Arc Riego 2 what?
Oh, yeah, Arc Riego is going to talk about the Malaysia Air and how they still ain't found it and how it's probably they ain't never going to find it.
Well, I don't want any editorial opinions. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com on this Monday, and it's good to be with you. It's good to be alive. It's good to be me. It's good to be you. We'll be right back.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico. I'm General Galen Shaw. Come at me.
And the Phil Henry Show, of course, brought to you by Barclays Beauty Products, from the hairspray to the nail polish to the eyeliner to the different beauty aids that I don't want to go into right here because there are men listening and they won't understand what you, young lady, and I understand to be very necessary to keep our figures firm looking. Barclays Beauty Products, available at all kinds, and they're in the Thousand Oaks Mall, Shifrington's, and at the River's Edge.
Ward Blondell here for Blondell Electronics. Boy, the phone calls have been pouring into Blondell Electronics ever since we've been telling you about Blondell Electronics wiring beautiful homes. Beautiful homes for the last 30 years overlooking the Pacific Ocean in the very wealthy sections of Malibu. No home has burned to the ground. I was kidding about that, although we've had some close calls. The point is, we're inexpensive and we'll go anywhere and do anything to get your business. Blondell Electronics. We don't need to be in the yellow pages. We're at your house before you can even look up the number.
Blondell Electronics, they'll do absolutely anything for your business. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
no. No. You don't. They'll do anything.
She's
Counting Crows.
Oh, that's who that is. Well, who's the young man? What was the name of the group? Who's the man in the name of the group that what they done did?
What?
Hey, Doc, you mean Black Crows.
I wasn't asking you, but yes, that's the group. But I wasn't asking you, so I'll ask Phil.
Black Crows.
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome.
Take it easy, bud. You know, you're gonna choke to death on your own imbecility. You'll go and you'll choke to death on the dumbness that's getting lodged, it's getting wedged down there. If you say that's what she said, so help me God, you die.
I didn't do anything.
All right. Although I could see the look in your eye, too.
See, even Mr. Henry knows.
Well, I held it back. I held it back the way you don't held back a fart.
I don't fart. I belch, you dirty.
Hey, miss me.
So?
All right. Captain America, Margaret, what's going on with that?
Captain America, let's see, what is the week that this thing's been out? I'm not a big fan of these films. It has crossed the $200 million mark in its third week. The Winter Soldier, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, took the number one spot for the third week in a row, earning $26 million. The big news, as I understand it this morning, Phil, is that Johnny Depp sucked on, and I'll use your language, this is not mine, this is Phil's, sucked on a long one. Thick and long, and almost had a smile on his face.
And with a little bit of saliva.
And with some saliva dripping out.
What does that mean?
I'll tell you what it means. Johnny Depp stiffed it.
More to the point, he got stiffed.
No, he didn't. What do you mean he got stiffed?
All right, so Johnny Depp what?
His movie blew a chip. His movie blew that Geico pig, all right?
Yeah, I understand. Boy, that's cold shot. The Geico pig, but yes, I do understand, Phil, that the Depp film fell through the bottom of the septic tank and continued on down into the polluted soil itself, the cancer-causing materials. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I'll take it that Johnny Depp's movie didn't do well.
Well, it did $11 million. Does that make you happy?
Doesn't make me happy at all, no.
That's what we're trying to say.
Then you could say that. Johnny Depp blew the Geico pig. Johnny Depp this, Johnny Depp that.
Yeah, Johnny Depp sailed through the bottom of a toilet bowl.
I didn't say toilet bowl. I said the outhouse. No, I said the septic tank.
Yeah, you need to get the colorfulness of it to appreciate it.
Oh, that's great. And while I'm waiting for all the colorfulness out of, to come to the thing, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. The Johnny Depp film was what, Transcendence?
Yes, Transcendence. $11 million. Oh! That's got a sting. That's got a sting like someone's holding you down and using something they heated up in a blacksmith's kiln. Thank you.
All right. You know, Johnny Depp is a guy who has been seen by American audiences and international audiences. I think that, you know what I think? The older an actor gets, man, the more you gotta...
Come out with a really good movie. Like, if you think about the old-time actors, like I was talking about my aunt, with, like John Spade...
Who's John Spade?
You mean John Wayne?
Well, yeah, okay, John Wayne, but...
So why did you say John Spade?
Sounds better. John Wayne, the more movies he did, the less they blew. I mean, the more they blew.
Not really.
Well, John Wayne, toward the end of his life, was doing some interesting movies, actually. He did The Shootist. He did True Grit.
Well, that was in the late... John Wayne died around 1980 or close to it. So in the intervening years... Okay... The intervening years between the time that he did The Shootist, or, if you will, the what was the name of the character, Tug McGraw?
Tug McGraw?
Who are you talking about?
The movie he won the Academy Award for.
Oh, True Grit.
True Grit.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, what was Tug McGraw?
That guy's a pitcher.
He pitched for the Pittsburgh, for the,
pitched for the Phillies.
He pitched for the, you guys are pulling... You're reaching up under my skirt and trying to get a hold of one, and it isn't there.
But what, Margaret, the guy was Tug McGraw, was a pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies. It wasn't the name of a movie.
All right, fine. But the point is, John Wayne, in the intervening years between the True Grit film, and then when John Wayne finally left us, he did Brannigan, he did...
McClintock.
McClintock. No, he didn't.
Oh, McClintock was somebody else...
McClintock was Kirk Widmark, right? Or Richard Douglas, I forget.
Kirk Kirk Widmark. No, yes, Kirk Widmark.
You mean Kirk Douglas?
No, I mean Kirk Widmark.
I don't know.
You mean Richard Widmark?
I'm sorry, that's it, Richard Widmark. Who was Kirk?
There's no such person. So, yeah, he did some films, and a lot of what Wayne was doing then, he was taking his cue, I think, from Clint Eastwood. But be that as it may, Johnny Depp is at a point in his career where I think it isn't just a matter... I think he's going to get his audience. I think he's going to have his audience. To the day that Johnny Depp leaves the silver screen, people will go to movies because Johnny Depp is in it. That's what happens when you're a movie star. People will always go see your movies. Nicholson, De Niro, Pacino... That's the case. You'll go see an Al Pacino movie, won't you?
No, not me. I won't go see Al Pacino. I think that Al Pacino, I think he did, I love The Godfather, but the rest of that garbage, I couldn't care. No, not me. No, thank you. Now, what's his name, De Niro?
I watch Pacino movies pretty much because I think he's a great actor. I like to see Jack Nicholson, but that's my generation. So, what else, Margaret?
Well, I wanted to tell you here, though, that... Captain America, the third week in a row, earning $26 million this holiday week and allowing it to cross that magical $200 million finish line. For comparison's sake, this sequel, directed by Anthony and Joe Russo, has already out-earned 2011's Captain America, The First Avenger, which ended its run with $176.65 million. You understand that in 3 weeks it's earned more than Captain America, The First Avenger, earned in the whole time that it was on, in, or being seen, I guess.
You mean in the movie theaters?
Yeah, how well would they make that money? That's just everybody looking at it.
No, it was when it was in the movie. When it went into rental or what will you, the DVD, that's a separate, we're talking about the theater run.
Okay, $176 million ain't a lot of money, is it?
Well, that's domestic money. It's not bad. Obviously, it warranted the sequel. The studio looked at it and felt very comfortable with it. I talked to Frank at length about this. I said, well, what do you think about Captain America? He said he hated it, but Frank hates everything. He said he despised it with every fiber of his being, but he was sure that they will probably make a sequel because, and I'm quoting Frank directly now, they love to stick it in the ringer and twist and see how long they can stand the pain. End quote.
What does that mean exactly?
Just what he said.
Well, what does it mean? They like to stick it in the ringer and twist and see how long they can stand the pain. In other words, they like to run the risk of losing money?
No, they think it's macho to watch a film drop tens of millions while they laugh and drink. Because they'll make it up in the next movie.
Oh, that's the most... that's ridiculous. That's mental illness.
Anyway, will Christian audiences turn out for Heaven is Real? The real takeaway for this film, Captain America, that for all the idle chatter of audience superhero fatigue, no one is going to be putting away the spandex just yet. It'll be interesting to see The Amazing Spider-Man 2, see how well that fares, and will Christian audiences turn out for Heaven is for Real? Initially, it seemed like this weekend would be a tight race between Captain America and Rio 2, but it turned out to be less so with Fox's animated Avians coming in at $22.5 million this weekend. But anyway...
Now, what is this, Heaven is for Real?
This is a Greg Kinnear. The faith-based Heaven is for Real continues to pleasantly surprise during its first weekend of wide release. I said to Frank, darling...
We don't want to hear about you and Frank.
I want to hear about...
Hey!
Ow!
Hey.
Keep his mouth shut, please.
Bud.
I said to Frank earlier this weekend... TriStar, I brought in $21.5 million this weekend, bringing its five-day total to $26.5 million.
You said that to Frank?
Yes. Then I said the demographics for the film broke down to 62% female, 38% male, and interestingly, 49% of the audience under the age of 35. I think that's because it was a Greg Kinnear, Kelly Reilly film about Todd and Sonia Burpo.
Are you kidding me or something? Your name's Burpo?
Will you shut up?
Come on, bud. No, I'm talking about Burpo, though. Give a damn the name Burpo. It's distracting.
It's only distracting to a mental midget like you. This is a real-life occurrence?
Well, so they claim. This Tanya and Tanya and Sod. No, Sonia and Todd. Their son claims to have seen heaven while unconscious.
What's so unusual about that?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, everybody that is that has died and then been brought back to life, they all say the same thing, that they, you know, that they saw heaven or some crap like that, you know what I'm saying? Or that, you know, they were in a peaceful place.
I don't know. Well, this was, no, they weren't just in a peaceful place waiting to go over. They did, this boy did go over.
Over what?
Over into the heaven of the...
All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Hendry Show with more news and views. Supreme Court decides on Arrero, an obscure startup that could reshape the TV industry. Guess what they're using? Antennas. They're bringing back the TV antenna? Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We're live and mobile on TuneIn, live and mobile on our Listen Live line at the website. Back in a moment, yeah. Yeah. Somebody asked me, how do you do it? Tell them that I'm justified. But the truth to myself, you know, I feel so alone.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico, California.
Yeah.
Sign up for a backstage pass.
Sons, Phil Hendry Show.
Are you playing the whole songs now?
I don't know. Somebody said to me that we should. We have a lot of people asking us, what was that song you played? I mean, if we played all of the songs that we feature on the show, it would be four songs. One. How many would it be, Robert?
But four songs an album. Some of the songs long to go for a minute. But slow down, man.
What?
You like this?
Yeah, slow it down, Robert.
I said we played four songs an hour. But some of them go long, about like 4 minutes.
Well, I don't know anything about it, but that last song, it was, I like that somebody do-da-do, some, that was very nice. Some of the things you play, though, Phil.
Yeah, the satanic screeching, I can't, no, I won't do it, I can't do it, Phil, I can't.
What do you mean the satanic screeching?
You're talking about like, you know, Attila and bands like that.
When the kids go, they're screaming as if it's a demon.
Well, you know, Margaret, I think, has a legitimate point here, Phil. It is so upsetting to a woman to hear that kind of assaultive screeching. She feels it's a psychosomatic hand, right?
I said to Phil, and this one here, if he laughs.
I'm not going to say anything. You already said it.
I said to you earlier, Phil, that there is a psychosomatic reaction. When I hear that, I feel the probe. I feel the probe. I'm not saying I am being probed.
You're talking about a hand on your thigh?
Talk about the interior of the thigh.
I said on the inside of the thigh.
And if that's the case, I pray to Jesus that that's not happening to Patsy. Now, I know she's at home. Maybe I should go, Patsy, if you're home, honey, I'll call you. When Phil plays some of the demon music, do you feel a finger?
Would you guys give me a break here? Are you serious?
Phil, are you a woman?
No, but neither is the general.
No, but he's married to Patsy. And she said she felt something that was very invasive and upsetting. It felt good for about 2 seconds, and then she realized, wait a minute.
Yeah, she said, wait a minute. That's not the general's finger. And
so it was in the inside of her thigh.
No. No, this was, I'll say it, and again, it was the backside.
Yes.
All right, you guys, you know, you better be telling me the truth.
Excuse me?
Phil, I'm telling you, don't you question my wife.
I'm not questioning. So let me, I tell you what, let me just...
Please don't do it, Phil. God, don't do it.
Wait a minute. Let's listen here to exactly what it is. Here is a song, tell you what, this is Dio. Not Dio. Why don't we go to... All right, here we go. My Dying Time. This is, what is it, Black Label? Like this?
No, not this. It's the Demonica. I call it Demonica because, and I have got to stop because Frank said to me, if you call it Demonica, the Delmonico will be...
No.
No, not the...
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. You're talking about Amity Affliction.
Yes. Oh, God. Oh, God. See, I can feel...
What was that?
I just felt the fingers.
Hey, Philip, this is a...
Turn it off, turn it off, turn it off, turn that filth down. So I just saw you do the eye roll. Don't shake your head. You did the eye roll, didn't you?
No, Miss Sandler, you want me to get Dr. Jim Sandler on?
No, we need more than Jim Sandler. We got to get on... I'm sorry for saying we need to get some religious person.
Oh, my God, you think it's demonic possession? I told you it's
Phil, what are you saying?
I've said let's get Pastor Rennick because...
No, we will not. I will not be embarrassed and sit here in front of all of the fumbling and drooling and the snot out of the nose people that you've got. God bless them. But the people that listen to your program, Phil, they sweat. I will not sit here...
You will not sit here and do what?
I won't be... Are you proposing, Phil?
Margaret, I'm telling you right now, I'm not calling a psychiatrist. I'm not calling Dr. Sadler because I feel that we don't need a doctor. I think we need to have Pastor Rennick to set the record straight on what it is you're messing around with here because I don't think you're feeling anything. I think that you are imagining this and it happens to be some... It is a need, I think, for attention.
Maybe he is for a psychiatrist.
If you insist on doing that, I will leave the studio.
No, you won't. No, you won't. You're part of this show. You just introduced something to the show, and we're going to see it through.
So I will be made an example in front of all of the half-wits that listen to your program. Is that it?
All of the half-wits. You know, you're going to be the one that's going to have to answer.
Is that it?
Yes.
Frank Gray, please.
I got to do it.
Frank Gray, please.
I give the orders. Get Frank Gray.
Yeah.
And you're going to get Pastor Rennick.
I am going to get Pastor Rennick on the line. Can you call up Pastor Rennick?
Which one first?
Call up Pastor Rennick.
I want Frank Gray.
Get Frank Gray.
Then you want, then, so I'll call Pastor Rennick?
Call Frank Gray, then call Pastor Rennick. Okay?
Hey, Frank Gray.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, man.
Well.
Well, someone's got to lighten the mood around here. Jesus H, it's like I walked into a room filled with farts. Not just one, but everybody just decided that we better do something to bring this day to an end, because we're not going to get any...
Well, I'm sorry, General. Aren't you having fun here?
I was. Until I heard about a finger probing my wife's rectum. All right, are you happy? What are you laughing at?
I can't believe the conversations that we have so much.
Yeah, Frank? Yeah, how you doing, bud? Huh? Yeah, she's on her rag again.
I'm going to kick your ass.
Hey! Frank, you're trying to go after me. I'll put it on the air. Hold on, Frank.
Get him on the phone. Get him on the air, will you, please? Hey, Frank, it's Phil Hendry. How you doing?
I'm better than Custer, young man. How are you?
Good. Margaret's here.
What's going on, honey?
Frank, Phil is playing the demonica that you and I were laughing about. It's not... Is the Delmonico there?
The Delmonico. You know something? Why aren't we calling her the name that we gave her when she was born? The son that I have is named Jason. Not Jason J., not the Delmonico.
The Delmonico is, I think, a good name for Roar.
I understand the entertainment possibilities, but she's a young man trying to make it in this life, trying to play baseball and football. She gets out there and competes in all of the sports and the rugby and the so forth, and you want her going out there with the name the Delmonico. Is that what you want to do to our son, a good, strapping young man, and all that she represents?
Frank, all I'm saying...
No, I will have none of it, Margaret. You want to call her the Delmonico, you go right ahead. You want to call her something that one would only call a Brazilian soccer player, or something that's made out of jade sitting
All right, Frank, if it's Phil Hendry, we got to move on here. The question that Margaret had was this music, the Demonica, as she calls it, the demon music.
Yeah, it was the song you were just playing was from who?
That was the Amity Affliction with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the thing that I think is funny is that those clowns, those Ringling Brothers clowns in the Amity Collection, they come up with a song called Pittsburgh, and the first thing you hear is the demon. Now, Pittsburgh's a lot of things, but I would not say that's where the devil hangs out. Even the devil has better taste than that. She's going to be in New York City. She's going to be at...
Well, I don't care, because you know that when I first heard that, I felt the probe.
Oh, for Christ's sake. I do not buy that, Phil.
All right, so do you think it's a psychiatrist thing?
Wait a minute. Don't talk about me like I'm a thing sitting on a stool and you're talking about me.
I would say that Pastor Rennick is a very good... She'll come on here and cut through. It doesn't have to be religious. I think we need the shock treatment of Pastor Rennick coming on and telling him, you know what, honey, you are a woman, you're a wife, and you're a mother, and you need to remember yourself, and I think he'll get the message.
Did you two hear what I just said? I won't be talked about like I'm a thing on a stool.
Well, you are a thing on a stool, all right? Now, when you say that you heard that
Amity Affliction.
Well, what was the name of the song?
It's called Pittsburgh.
And by the way, that's the same city that the team of the Pirates is from, and I saw her hit that guy.
What are you talking about now, man? We're talking about the song.
I know that, but it's all marrying itself together. It's melding itself together in my own mind.
All right, so we've got Pittsburgh, the song, and Pastor William Rennick to come on and talk with Margaret about the feeling she has. Thank you very much, Frank.
Well, wait a minute. I've got more to say on the...
Yeah, he hung up. You hung up on him, but I could still hear the background.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
I didn't know you could do that.
I did. I hung up on him, but I still heard his room, the room he was in. That's how good I am. That's how fast I am. I'm so fast that I hang up on a guy, and his voice goes away, and the room is still there.
Yeah, right, Miss Anna. Come on, Miss Anna. You're going to get on Pastor Rennick here to talk about Miss Gray. That should be a religious thing.
Why are you doing that? I don't think it's religious.
I think we're going to try something different here, because I don't... Pastor Sadler and Dr. Rennick, I mean Pastor Rennick and Dr. Sadler, the two of those guys together, I know that the psychiatrist, I don't even think there's anything wrong with you. I just want to hear Pastor Rennick go off on this thing.
Yes, that's my thing too.
Well, now you're talking.
Oh, so in other words, for laughs, is that it?
Margaret, I don't know what's going on with you, but I think that there is a little bit of wishful thinking.
How dare you? So in other words, you're saying to me...
You know, are we going to have to go through this?
Wait a minute. You're saying to me that when I hear that song, I wish something was putting its finger up my rectum.
What?
I won't say it. I'm a lady.
Folks, turn your radio up really, really loud. Go ahead. What, Margaret?
Rectum.
Okay, I think everybody in three states just heard that. All right.
Well, it wasn't the radio. It's the computer. Oh, because you're on smartphones. See?
Yeah, okay, great. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We're going to come back here, and we will have with us Pastor William Rennick. We have Art Griego still to go on. What do we got, bud?
Yeah, I got to talk about The Malaysia flight. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Malaysia, and also that ferry in South. I don't want to talk about the South Korea ferry.
Who's he?
Phil Henry Show. Who's he?
The South Korean ferry. Who is he? All that ahead on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Burton's Used Cars. Burton's Used Cars now in its sixth year in Westlake Village in Thousand Oaks. Burton's Used Cars aren't just used cars. They're cars that have been driven so much there's barely anything left of them. No tire tread, hardly any of the floorboard. There's a hole in the roof, and you can see the street underneath you as you drive the car. That's how exciting it is at Burton's Used Cars. Come on by and enjoy driving an automobile the way it used to be. It's the best way I can put that. We're doing this live. You might want to pre-record next time.
Well, that wasn't any good?
Yeah, it wasn't that good, no.
Burton's Used Cars. Thank you, sir. But remember, you can see the... Dennis said, you said we can see the street. Oh, look at these three gals. Yeah! Man, I gotta get me some of that.
That chick on the left is everything.
That
stand by.
Hey, Dad, what are you kidding me?
Pastor Reddick, I want to also.
I'm going to take my cue from Billy.
All right, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show, Black Sabbath, Paranoid. Yeah.
Black Sabbath. I'm not a big, call it rock and roll. I like that, though. Is that Ozzy Osbourne, right?
That's Ozzy Osbourne, yeah.
And that same man is on, I forget the show he's on. What show is that?
Well, he's on the Osbourne Show.
Yeah, the Osbourne Show. Man, I love that show. That show cracked me up.
That's Ozzy. Although he's a good deal older now, you know. Back in his younger days, he was... Well, he was a younger guy. Pastor William Rennick is with us here, and he's a Joyful Union congregation where they're having an open house at the Joyful Union Congregation Middle School and Elementary School, which is a part of the Joyful Union Congregation parish there. And Pastor Rennick, it's good to have you with us.
It's great to be on the program, Phil.
Margaret has some questions for you.
Pastor Rennick, how are you?
Good morning, Margaret. I'm very good. And by the way, Clara gives her best.
Clara, how are you, darling? Is she there?
Right now, she's helping out. They got carrot cake over here. They got some bundt cake. They have chocolate, what do you call?
Have they got the chocolate eclair?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, gentlemen, they got a chocolate eclair. They got the chocolate bundt cake. They got a vanilla heaven, you know, the cakewalk, Phil.
Oh, yeah. It's a good old-fashioned fundraiser.
Yeah, we got all. And Clara over there, she dishing up the carrot cake. Have you had a carrot cake?
Man, I used to live on carrot cake.
Oh, God, that stuff's good, man.
Oh, carrot cake's very good.
Man, I lived on carrot cake for a while. When I had this gig, I forget where.
You're going to kind of go into a...
You mean, you don't want to do a life story, Phil, because we want to get moving.
Okay. Well, you asked me about carrot cake.
I asked you if you ever had it. I didn't want to know, you know, what radio station you worked at. Band. Look at the back end on this girl here. God damn.
Now, hold on. It was poor. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at Bravo TV with that the guy that interviewed Lindsay Lohan. You know that show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he just had a fight between Porsche and Kenya and maybe even Mozambique. I'm kidding.
All right, so, General, we have Margaret here with a question.
Hi, Margaret, go ahead.
General, I felt in listening to a particular song that Phil has played on his program... of what I call the demonica. Do you know this music where they grumble and growl like animals?
Well, I listen to you talk about heavy metal?
Yes, exactly, the heavy metal.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. One of these songs starts out with that rah, 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 rah. And I experienced what some psychiatrists have called the spatial separation of body and mind, but I believe it's more than that. I think what I experienced was a glimpse into perhaps an astral hell.
Well, now, you're saying what? What happened?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Phil informed you.
No, he did not tell me anything.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
Can you tell him?
What happened? Let me guess. Hold on. Did you feel a hand creep along your leg?
Absolutely. That's exactly what happened.
All right. We've had a lot of that, Phil. We've had a lot of that, and I've had a lot of people coming to me, young women, older women, always in the company, by the way, of either their father or their husband. So I don't want anybody thinking, I don't play that, you know. This is not the church where I have to go talk to the pastor about my secret sexual yearning, and the next thing you know, the pastor said, well, the best way to do is to bring it out of you with a man of the cloth, because that... No. I don't play that up. No way. Everything above board here, we've got cameras everywhere. Everything is tape recorded. I had them sign an affidavit. Did I put a hand on you? No, I did not. Was I at any time improper with you? No, you were not. I have that notarized.
All right, okay, that's fine. I believe you. I mean, you're going overboard with some of that stuff. Why are you doing all of that?
No way can I afford any kind of a scam like that. I'm not going to have it happen to me what happened to Baker. I'm not going to have it happen to me what happened to Swaggart. I'm not going to have it happen to me what happened to half of these guys, half of these Ringling Brothers clowns. Because I'm Pastor William Rennick. I've worked my tail off to get where I am today. And if you think for 5 seconds I'm going to be undone by some chump change accusation somehow I was taking a peek, you know, early morning dew, whatever, what have you, I don't know. I'm not going to have it done.
Well, you're very, very smart.
You know something? I don't see anything wrong with that either. I agree with Mark. Very good thinking there, Pastor.
Well, thank you. And I think that everybody should.
Well, you're telling me you got cameras? People are signing affidavits?
Yeah, that's right, Phil. In other words, you're giving me a hard time on the other side of this thing.
No, I'm not giving you a hard time. I'm just the extent that you go to.
I'll go to any extent that I have to make sure that nobody, and I mean nobody, says Pastor William Rennick, try to pull the cutie poo, or try to put the move, or try to get the one-hand probe, the left-hand probe, two-finger probe, and so on and so forth. No way. No, ain't gonna happen. No. Not gonna happen.
All right, I got it. So Margaret felt the hand.
Yes, what she's feeling, you think it's an astral hell. Margaret, what you're feeling there is, in point of fact, a hand, and this is something very difficult for people to understand. But Margaret, since you breached the subject, and I thank you for doing that, I am going to take it all away. Margaret, what she did is she untied the ropes. Now I'm going to get into the balloon and fly that thing all the way to New Jersey. And this time it ain't going to blow up and burn. Now...
All right. Are you talking about the Hindenburg?
I don't know. Whatever that thing was on a Led Zeppelin album.
Yeah, that was the Hindenburg. But you're going to... So I don't understand the analogy.
All right.
But
in other words, when I...
Forget the analogy. So you're going to get into the... I mean, you're going to... So you're going to discuss this topic.
Yes, yeah. What I'm saying is this. There are things in this world, in the afterlife and in parallel dimensions, that we don't know about. Now, heavy metal music, some of this demon music, or what Margaret and her husband Frank called a demonica, some of that music opens up ever so slightly a little rip in the separation between dimension. And sometimes the dimension that we're separated from is one of the first two level of hell past the main level where Lucifer lived. You know, then you got little imp, demon, that kind of thing, what Margaret called astral hell.
Yes, this is another level of the astral hell.
What is an astral hell?
Yeah, what does that mean?
That's the astral hell is where yoga is.
Yeah, well, the butt's about half off. Astral hell is like Hindu. So the hereafter is shared. You got Christian hereafter, you got the Hindu hereafter. So they coexist, like different rooms. You know, well, here we are in the Hindu hell. Now over here...
But what, is the devil giving a tour or something?
Well, I'm not trying to be funny.
All right, I mean, but you say Hindu, I don't understand why there's a separation, but that's okay. So there's an astral hell.
Yeah, the astral hell, Phil, is where the demon's hand comes out because of the heavy metal, right?
Yeah, because there's metal music, the demon has an opportunity, so he sticks his hand through the membrane, if you will, separating our dimension from theirs, and tries to get itself a little bit of a squeeze. And then the hand darts back in, as soon as it's recognized.
And that's what's happened to me. Every time this has happened, when I hear that music, there is a tear in the dimensions and the demon hand.
Well, no, you're saying the imp?
Yeah, it's a little tiny hand. Does it feel like a little hand?
It's a small hand, yes.
So the little hand goes, yeah, I see the tear. The hand goes, tries to get itself, you know, tries to cop a cheap feel. Look, you're talking about an evil entity. So they all, evil entity, act the same way, whether it's a teenage boy in the world we live in, an imp in the astral hell, one of the Bonashia. The Bonashia is part of a extra-dimensional hell that is a huge, it's like a gigantic North Pole. So it's a coal hell. The Bonashia is a gigantic thing. It's a sloth-like thing that's got a finger and it tries to probe, too. And I think that's probably what happened to your wife, Patsy, General.
Are you telling me that my wife was probed by a gigantic sloth?
From the Bonashia, which is the upper hell.
What are you guys talking about, the upper hell?
Wait a minute, Phil. I'm telling...
Get out of here.
Well, I don't know, Phil. It sounds like it makes sense to me.
The general was... I mean, the pastor was trying to give you an answer and you hung up on him. The last lifeline you had to the truth and you hung up on him. Good going.
Let me tell you. There's only so much of this horse dung I can take before I start flipping my lid. The Barnashia, a gigantic sloth. That's probably what probed Patsy. And you had an imp hand, is that it?
Yes, it all makes perfect... The size of the hand, it couldn't have been more than... How big is that, bud?
How big is what?
The space between my thumb and forefinger.
By Robert's penis.
I'm gonna kick your ass, man. Hey.
You guys take it outside, will you?
Don't you do, man? Now you did it.
It's about that big.
So yeah, that's about 2 inches tall.
No, that's the hand.
Little 2-inch hand was crawling on your thigh.
Yes. Forget it.
All right, sports fans. That was amazing. Did we go to Bob Bacon or not? Hey, bud, what are you doing?
Now you're Robert trying to hit me and everything.
Get back in here. Where's Bob Bacon?
I got him standby.
You got him on standby. Okay, great. So he's going to be at the Boston Marathon, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to Bob Bacon at the Boston Marathon when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And that kind of took us off course because I did not want to talk about that, Margaret. I don't know why the hell are we talking about this crap.
Listen, you said anything that is in our lives, we can bring it into our lives, and I brought it. I mean, anything that's in our lives, we can take it out of our lives and bring it into your life. And that's what I did. And I tried to bring it into your life, but your life would have none of it. Your life doesn't have room in it for the imp, for discuss.
Yeah, my life doesn't have room in it for a little 2-inch imp hand. All right.
I'm not talking about it probing you, Phil. There's very, very small percentage that an imp in an astral hell would want to probe a man.
I see. Okay. You know an awful lot about this.
I know some.
All right. So we got Bob Bacon coming up for the Boston Marathon here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We are going to talk a little bit here about Joe Biden, General. You want to talk about that?
Joe Biden. Jesus, that guy. Oh, God. Oh!
He is our vice president.
Yeah, well, in name only. Yeah, Biden is over in the Ukraine, in the Ukrainia.
All right. And let's see, what else do we have? Boston Marathon, that's coming up next with our good friend Bob Bacon. Expert, here's the story here that I just love. Expert stunned by local boy's Hawaii flight in a wheel well. Another kid, another person, stowing away in a wheel well. This is not the first I've heard of this. One of the more gruesome ones I heard about.
Oh, did you hear the man that landed in the neighborhood?
Yeah, a guy, they found a body. A body came plummeting out of that. I forget where or when this was. A body fell from, they are assuming, a very, very high elevation and hit a street somewhere here in the United States not too many years ago. And I mean, well, you know, it was just splattered all over the place. It was not pretty.
What, did you fall out of a tree? What are you talking about, a tree, man? How's it going to splatter you? I don't know where to fall from.
They think this is a guy that was in an airplane. They think it was a guy in a wheel well. They think what happened was the guy was in the wheel well of an aircraft that was attempting to land because there was an airport nearby. The aircraft opens up the wheel well, and the landing gear comes down, and this guy lost his grip or he didn't, you know, and he fell, man. And, you know, so now a kid has made it on a flight to Hawaii, boys' Hawaii flight in a wheel well. So we're going to talk about that when we come back with Art Griego, also Malaysia Air 370. and what's going down with all of that. So coming up here on the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And congratulations again to our winner, Mumblex Grumpf of the iPad, our very first iPad winner this morning on the Phil Henry Show pre-show. If you want one, you should sign up for an all-access backstage pass at philhenryshow.com and then join us on our all-access backstage pass pre-show starting at 8:30 a.m. I had fun talking to those guys.
I think you should talk to the BSPs every morning on...
No, you don't want to do that. You're going to get the same... You get the same people like they have on a lot of the talk shows. They call in, same, hey, how you doing, Phil? And it's like old home week. Nobody wants that.
Oh, there's ways of moving it along a little bit more, getting more people involved. Anyway, congratulations, sir. And he is from Tacoma, Washington. Tomorrow, we'll do another one at our pre-show here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show will be right back. I can assure you, I'm not exactly positive. No one can be well.
Let's move it along, will you? God Almighty.
I'm moving. It'll be right. He will be. It will be right back with he, with him.
Bobby Dooley, who'll be with us here in the end of the hour, I think, or the end of the half hour, we have the Bobby Dooley podcast. And she'll be joining us, right? Yeah. Welcome back, Phil Henry Show. On the line with us from, first of all, we got Bob Bakian, who is up overhead in Boston, and Bob has the latest on the Boston Marathon. Bob, how's it going?
I have really good here at the Boston Marathon here in the great city of Beantown. Boston is called Beantown. And the Boston Marathon continuing here and seeing a lot of people, thousands and thousands of people out of the parade. That's it, about a million people. A lot of people come out, Phil.
I hear that there have been a lot of people to show support.
A lot of people out here to show their support because of the tragedy of last year. But a beautiful city, beautiful day for the Boston Marathon. They've had this for 118 years, and that was the thing that made me very, very curious. I went out, Phil, did a bit of research and talked to Dr. Wayne Cutgrove. I asked him, did people run 118 years ago? Here's his response.
Yeah, sure they did. They ran and they jumped and they did a lot of things. And you could never be too sure as to whether you would survive it because no one knew how fast a man could run.
Oh, sorry, my helicopter sound effects ran out, Phil. I'm going to have to get that off. There you go.
Get out of here, will you? Well, that was a very interesting interview, though.
Yeah, tell him about that helicopter.
Can you tell him to get his helicopter sound effects together or actually do fly there to Boston? Either one of the two?
Are you trying to tell me that turkey wasn't in Boston? That he's got a helicopter sound effect? That was fantastic.
He does a very good job, doesn't he?
What is this?
I think, yeah, Bob, go ahead.
And that was really neat. So that's what people would do back in those days. And when did you figure that people could actually run and they wouldn't fly?
Well, we knew that when people started to run a long way and they didn't start flying, we knew that there was an opportunity there to have a marathon.
Oh, there it is, Phil. That's Dr. whatever his name was. I forget. Interviewed him just before the Boston Marathon. He said that that's what they found out when they ran a first marathon, that people would not take off and start flying, so they decided to have a few more marathons. Now, 118 years later.
They didn't actually think people would start taking off and flying, did they?
Well, yeah, I understand, Phil. They never really had marathon running. Well, yeah, they had it in Greece and everything, but people weren't really used to it, and they didn't have any television, so nobody was really aware of what happens when you start running really fast. Now, the Boston Marathon, of course, is a marathon, so you don't really run fast, but still, these guys, I mean, they get going, and especially when you see these black runners from Africa, man, they're smoking all the white people. I mean, it just goes to show you that black folks have, well...
All right, thanks a lot, Bob.
I didn't mean to say there's something...
Bob Bakian there, and...
Well, Phil, why would you cut that off?
Cut it off? Because he's going into the whole thing about black people that run faster.
You don't think that's true, Mr. Henry?
No, I don't think it's true. No, I don't think it's true.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Bill, it stands to reason when you look at the number of black people that go really fast.
Let me tell you guys something, okay?
Oh, here we go. Daddy's going to explain life.
Yeah, Daddy's going to explain life. Any way that a man can make a dollar in this world, he's going to make it. And if you can't make it one way, you make it another way. It just so happens that athletics, whether it is baseball, whether it's track, whether it's football, is the best possible way for a lot of young black people to get into the world of financial success. It was, anyway. Things are opening up more and more for people everywhere. But at one time, that was it, okay? If you think that black people are so damn fast, what about those East Germans? You remember them?
Well, now, wait a second. You're talking about the Cold War now. That was a whole different thing.
No, well, wait a second. Those East German runners used to kill everybody. Used to kick our ass left and right. Those are all white boys.
Well, Phil, they were all doping.
Oh, and we weren't? Come on. Everybody was. Those East German runners were that Valerie Brumel guy. Remember that guy?
That's a guy? It's a chick.
That's a name of a guy. That wasn't Valerie Brumel. It was a guy in Russia. And I think he was a high jumper, but you get my idea.
So in other words, he wasn't a runner, he was a high jumper, and he wasn't East German, he was Russian, but same difference.
Exactly. Okay, Art Griego joining us now from Santa Monica Airport, and we're going to talk to Art about a couple of things. First of all, Art, this story of this kid in the wheel well continues to fascinate me. I want to find out about Malaysia Air Flight 370. But give me a little idea of what the hell happened here.
Well, it's an interesting story. By the way, I've got a friend of ours, Warren Benman, is with me here. As you know, Warren fell off of a broadcast tower and fell the equivalent of about five stories, hitting girders, hitting all manner of objects on the way down. And Warren has survived a significant fall, nothing like out of the wheel well of a plane. Warren's going to join us. Warren, did you see the story?
That thing found pretty interesting.
It was interesting. Now, when you fell off that broadcast tower, you were how high?
About five.
Okay. And you hit every girder on the way down.
Every single girder on the way down. I hit them all with my head. Now, here's the thing. My injury did nothing to do with that. I'm injured because I survived.
Yeah, that's the thing, Phil. When you hear Warren talking the way he does in that halting, stuttering manner, it isn't because he hit the girders with his head. It's because he was shocked that he survived.
Wait a second. This is a general shock. Art, are you trying to tell me that this guy was fine after he hit all those girders?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I wouldn't put out a lot of you. I wouldn't hit you. You're my favorite third.
Hey, hold on for a minute, man. You're just because...
Wait. Let's have a little more decorum, if you don't mind, Warren.
I'm trying. Done getting in.
Well, he was just trying to get a little shot in.
I don't need anybody getting a shot in. I'm trying to see this guy's side. You wouldn't shit me. I'm your favorite turd.
Didn't he guy fell down?
I know you fell down, but you said your head hit every... Where the hell are you, anyway?
We're over here at Santa Monica Airport. Right now, I'm in the hangar, and we're gassing up one of the Lear jets. It's going to go out and take some business people up to San Francisco. And it's a beautiful jet. It's just thought we'd... And I got to get a little work done while we're doing it.
Can't you hear him?
Yeah, I can hear him, but it's pretty noisy. Now, the question I have for you, Warren, you hit every girder on the way down on that broadcast tower. Well, you're saying you weren't injured.
No, I wasn't injured going in the girders, but what happened was I was injured because when I hit the ground and I got up and looked around, I went, "Holy Jesus," and then I started talking like this.
Well, how do you know it's not you talk like that because you weren't injured?
Well, I'll take that, Warren, because...
But no, I want to hear him say it.
Go him, Dave.
God.
I'll do it. I'll say it. Because the doctors, he's had multiple CAT scans, and he's had multiple examinations, and there's nothing wrong with him.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. This guy falls five stories, hits every girder on the way down with his head, and there's nothing wrong with him.
Well, it happens, Mr. Henry. There's been a lot of weird things happening, but the way it goes, you know.
I understand a lot of weird things have happened in this world, but that's as... all right, so this is the result of you just being scared that you survived?
Yeah, but I got up and got five stories, you kidding me? And everything done.
Yeah, he talks like that. He talks like a real jacked up, you know, he talks jacked up because he can't believe he's alive. One of these days he'll believe it, and he'll probably start talking like, you know, Vin Scully or something.
Well, I'll see that when I'll hear that when I believe it. I mean, I'll believe it when I hear it.
Yeah, okay, that's good for you that you finally got that
You know, I'll tell you something, Griego. I've been sitting here listening to your gobbledygook for a few weeks now about this Flight 370. When are they going to find this thing?
I got the guy looking for it, General. All right.
I think we want to just get the report. What's the latest here on Flight 370? What do you know, Joe? And let me ask you, Art. I understand that the Malaysian authorities are now involved. Is that right?
Yeah, Malaysia. The police. What would they be now involved? They've been involved.
I mean that they've got another theory, I should say.
Well, it's not so much they have a theory, but they believe that they're looking into sabotage now. They think that perhaps the aircraft was sabotaged somehow. And so that's the latest here from Malaysia Flight 370. I think people are beginning to realize, Phil, that there's no way. I don't know that they're going to ever find this thing anytime soon. But they're probing if there was any sabotage behind the emergency landing of this Bangalore-bound flight carrying. Wait a second. This is a MH-192 emergency landing. This is a different plane.
Well, aren't you talking about 370?
No, this is. I thought it was 370. They think that it might be a. You know what? I got this wrong.
Well, what are you talking about?
I thought this was Flight 370, and now the Malaysian police are probing something else. It was an emergency landing of another plane. My apologies. But let's just pretend it was Flight 370. And they.
No, we're not going to pretend anything. So there was another Malaysian flight that had trouble?
Yeah, this one had an emergency landing, and I think maybe it was sabotage.
All right, well, let's just stick with 370. So what's going on with that?
Well, I don't know, because I was reading the wrong story. I have no idea. I couldn't tell you whether they found it. Maybe they found it, for all I know.
Well, we would have heard that they'd found it, I think. Art, do you have any other information on Flight 370?
Unfortunately, I don't, because I was looking at the Flight 192 data. Do you want anything on 192?
Not really, no. I want Flight 370.
All right, well, Flight 370... Here's the best I can do is guess.
I don't want you to guess. I want to know for sure.
Well, this is a good guess, and it's all I've got. I mean, I would say that the plane hasn't been found yet, that they are not hearing any pings, that the submarine, and that the relatives are probably still crawling the walls up there in Kuala Lumpur. I bet you those relatives are still all over those Malaysian authorities like white on rice. They're probably going ape on them. I don't know if they ever will stop going ape.
You know something? You want to have a little more courtesy there, I think, Art. Those people have gone through a lot.
I understand that, but there's only so much the Malaysian authorities can go through, and I think Phil referenced this the other day. I think you have to back off and quit going monkey on these people.
Well, you knock it off with the monkey and the ape and everything else. I get it, okay? I understand, and even I have said that they could be they could conduct themselves in a little bit more of an adult manner, but I don't need to be hearing you talking about going ape and monkey.
All right, Jesus. Right. For me, man.
Here's what I want from you, Art. The next time... Never mind. Thank you for your report. Thank you, Mr. Benman.
Oh, he's gone. He got into a cab and took off back to the airport.
Aren't you at the airport now?
No, we're in the hangar. This is where we're juicing up this jet. We're repairing it. No, we're at a remote hangar.
Where are you?
We're in Mojave.
Are you at Santa Monica?
No. We're not at Santa Monica. Not now, but we will be. So Warren's off. He's got in a cab. He's... on to Santa Monica.
He's taking a cab from the Mojave Desert.
From the town of Mojave. Yes, it's in the Mojave Desert, but...
What are you doing all the way up there?
I didn't know that there was a law, Phil, that said we can't have repair hangars in the Mojave.
Okay, so you're in the Mojave Desert. All right.
Yeah. You know, Phil, you get to know my business a little bit. Get to know my business a little bit before you start passing judgment on me. And by the way, here is Christiane Amanpour on TV... God Almighty, I'd give anything at all. And I would pay for the justice of the peace myself if I could find her and do...
There is Art Griego and Warren Benman, who took off in a cab back to Santa Monica.
What a weird situation.
Well, so they're in Mojave at a repair hangar.
Yeah, there's a Learjet or a series of Learjet hangars up there where they repair. You know, is there an airport up there?
Yeah, it probably is.
Next time, Bud, would you tell me where these guys are?
He said he's going to be in Santa Monica.
Well, what was the number you called?
He called me.
Yeah, he called us. But I did see on a return, I mean, we had a caller ID. It was calling from a different area code.
Well, I mean, see, that's right there is your tip-off, man. If it's a different area code, figure out where it is.
Oh, yeah. So a different area code could be a different place.
Yeah, uh-huh. Not that it matters all that much, but I'm telling you, the fact the cat was in the Mojave, those guys are weird. And that Warren Benman, who can barely talk,
He's in a cab? Do you know how much money that's going to cost?
He's taking the cab from where?
Mojave to Santa Monica. That'll be hundreds of dollars. You know, have you ever heard of these people that do that kind of thing, though?
Well, there's a lot of people who just, they got to get somewhere and they have no other choice. They don't want to wait around for a bus.
Yeah, and there's no, what, airport?
I don't know.
If you're going to go from Mojave to Santa Monica, you think you're going to find an airplane? I don't.
Yeah, there was one that they were gassing up.
Well, it might be for someone else, though.
All right, well, okay, you know, whatever this, the cab company, if he can afford it, he can afford it. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. All right, coming up, we got the Bobby Dooley podcast here on this Monday, and we certainly do thank you all for being with us here. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, it's another iPad giveaway here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We will give away another iPad. Congratulations again to Mumblix Grumpf, our winner from Tacoma, Washington this morning. 8:30 is when we start our BSP pre-show. 8:30 a.m. And just tune into Phil TV in HD and join us for that. Bobby Dooley's podcast coming up next. We thank you all for being with us here this morning.
Woo! Man.
But it's kind of become one of those weekends, too, you know.
Well, you're trying to make excuses, Phil.
I'm not making any excuse. Just one of those weird weekends. Phil Henry Show, see you guys tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. for the BSP pre-show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry, executive producer Phil Henry. For Siempre Incorporated, Phil is Phil Henry, too. And all rights reserved for Phil Henry. On the Sideshow Network, which is what Phil Henry's on, too.
Welcome to the Bobby Dooley Podcast. I'm Bobby Dooley, along with my husband, Steve. What a weekend we had. Yesterday was our Easter Awakening. What a ball.
We got a lot of fun on the Easter Awakening.
And some people wrote me and said, were the police called? No, the police were not called. You know, it was very unfortunate that one year that the police were called because the adjoining communities, we have two adjoining communities. There is the Berdeberg Country Club, which is to the east, I would say the southeast of us, right, Steve?
Yeah, Berdeberg kind of borders on the south and on the south and on the east.
Yes, that's about...
Yeah.
Okay, so the southeast. Then there was, and then of course on the other side of us is Lone Tree, which is the country club. It's a community as well as a golf course. They had called the L.A. County Sheriff, and when we finally did explain to the sheriff that we were doing our, it was the entrance of the Queen and the Four Virgin Soup, along with the Frenzy. The Frenzy is so much fun, and our Frenzy this year was no less.
Yeah, the Frenzy is when you begin to, and we have the Easter eggs and everything, and we celebrate Jesus.
Yes, I'm really having a difficult time with a lot of people who are saying, we don't understand the, what do you mean, Jesus? I said, what are you talking about? It's our Easter celebration, that's all. Let's, here is some taping from, yes. This is from, I know this sounds like the rehearsal we had on Friday. This is actually.
This is from the actual, okay, here it is now.
Hello, everyone. Oh, I know, this is the entrance. This is my entrance to the event, and you're going to hear, I think you'll hear me here in a moment coming in.
That's Bobby coming in here.
But you're hearing here, these are the drums of our youth corps, and then you'll hear the crowd begin to file in, and then you will hear me begin to, now you hear the crowd filing in?
Yeah, you can hear them murmuring.
Hello, everyone.
That's me on the loudspeaker.
Hello, everyone. This is the Spring Queen. This is your Spring Queen. Can we calm down? Get everyone seated. Can we calm down?
It was very, very...
Yeah, everybody's really excited.
Can we calm... Okay, the children have begun. Coo-boo-doo-boo-doo-doo. Coo-boo-boo-doo-boo-doo. Coo-boo.
That's me. Yes, I will call out to them and they'll call back.
Sounds like me.
Maybe that's you and not me.
Our youth corps, all praise to the youth corps. As we begin our Easter awakening, yes, children.
They're talking to me. They're singing praises to the Spring Queen, and that's all the tape we have?
That's about all we have there. I got Gene Wiffner.
I think Rick has some in there. Rick, do you have more tape?
Rick, could you put on the rest of the tape? Or not the rest of it. Give me reel two, which is when the crowning... Well, the Spring Queen is already crowned. What do we have with this?
Now, this is when the discontinuation of the entrance of the Queen... to the queen area, and then there is the bringing of gifts. I forgot.
Oh yeah, this is the bringing of gifts. Okay.
Please, everyone.
Hey, everybody, quick! This is Steve Dooley. I'm the master Earth King. Earth King speaking. Everyone, calm down and bring your gifts to the Spring Queen, which is Bobby Dooley, which is what she is. Please bring your gifts here to the front. Yeah, bring your gifts here to the front tabernacle. Bring your gifts here to the front tabernacle.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. How are you? Hello, good afternoon. How are you? Thank you.
So, as you can hear, this is the...
Please bring your gifts to the tabernacle, and then we will be doing the frenzy.
So everybody's bringing them in.
Yeah, everyone's bringing them in. Okay, wait, there's part of the...
Well, the frenzy's about to start.
The frenzy, yeah.
All right. You can hear some dissatisfaction with... Some of the homeowners were dissatisfied this year with the frenzy. There weren't a lot of girls that took their tops off. Let's roll it back, if we could, one more time. Why am I on the phone?
You can hear some dissatisfaction. I was on the phone there and I shouldn't have been, right?
No, you blew it. You blew it.
I didn't blow anything, Steve.
Well, oh no, not the face.
Hurts, don't it?
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. Here are the drums. Now, you're going to hear the dissatisfaction of the people. See, they're all pissed off because no one took... The girls didn't take their tops off. Now, I will come in here.
Please, don't be dissatisfied. My top will come off. How's that grab you?
Who gives it?
We got a problem. Get the fire hose. Please get the fire hoses. Look at people. You know, there's only so much that I can do here, huh? Come on.
Get the top off.
Woo! All right, okay.
So that was a very interesting afternoon, and Steve just gave me a hard time if you're wondering why he's not here. Say hello to everyone, Steve.
Hello. Hello. Sorry.
I had to pop him in the nose again because he was disrespecting a lot of the gals. So it was... real wild. It was weird and wicked. It was spooky and creepy, but it was another wonderful spring, Easter awakening. Now, the Springtacular is next weekend, and then we'll be done with it, thank God, until the Summertacular in July. So we're always constantly, you know, doing things and running around and everything like that. I am told that Phil Hendry's show did not cover the story here, and I wanted to. Did they, Gene?
They did not. They did not have time.
Well, this is something that my brother Daryl, did this as a young boy. He stowed away in a wheel well to visit our grandparents in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Daryl went out to L.A. International Airport and somehow got into the wheel well of a transcontinental jet, landed in Pittsburgh, thumbed to where our grandparents lived, stayed with them for a week, and unfortunately stole a number of very precious items of jewelry, somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000 worth of jewelry, fenced it right there in Pittsburgh. And here's the weird part. Then stowed away again in another wheel well and flew back to L.A. Why wouldn't you...
I would think that he'd buy a ticket.
Yes, why wouldn't you buy a first-class ticket? Daryl has been mum on the topic. I've asked him many times. Daryl is currently in segregated housing at Terminal Island Men's Prison here in Southern California. So we haven't spoken to him in a while. He was out two summers ago, but then on a parole violation was back in for another 2 years. And I think we'll be seeing him soon. But he's not said word one about why he stowed away back on that jet. The boy that was in the wheel well apparently was unconscious for the duration of the flight. He was spotted walking on the tarmac at Maui with no identification. Where was the rest of this story?
There's a thing here.
Right here.
Thank you, Steve.
It's right here. That's right.
I see, Steve. Aviation and security experts were at a loss on Monday as to how a 16-year-old boy from Santa Clara... I want to speak with my brother, Daryl. We do have a connection to Daryl there at Terminal Island in Southern California. And we're going to get a little conversation going, as much conversation as we can on this topic before we end our podcast this evening, because I know that Daryl has... he's had some experiences, but I've never talked to him before about this, and I really want to get him on the phone. Daryl is my brother, and he's there in Terminal Island in the Housing 1 there. And through the good offices of Warden Peterman, my brother, Daryl Roby, is on the phone. Hi, Daryl, honey. How are you?
Very good, Bobby. How you doing?
I'm great. Daryl, you remember the time that you stowed away to go back to see Grandpa and Grandma?
Yeah. That was out of the L.A. International.
Yes. Why did you? Well, let me ask you. What was that like?
It's pretty good. I got an airplane, and I had an airplane ride.
I know you had an airplane ride, and then you landed in Pittsburgh.
Then I hitchhiked out to the house. Then I robbed them, and then they came back.
Why didn't you fence enough jewelry to buy yourself a first class? Steve wants to say hello.
Hey, Daryl, how you doing, Steve?
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Got like Bobby Clark to get in the nose, huh?
She did it.
Well, you know how he's a bad boy.
Yeah, you gotta steer clear, Bobby.
So anyway, Daryl, why didn't you buy a first-class ticket?
Well, I wouldn't, I didn't know. I mean, I come out in a wheel well, go home in a wheel well, you know. And that's the way I roll, you know. You stay out and I buy a first-class ticket, I don't understand.
You had $100,000 worth of jewelry.
Yeah.
And you had fenced all of that.
Yeah.
So you had $100,000 in cash?
Well, yeah. I think it was because I don't think I had a bill that could break. I wasn't sure, though. You know?
So you just went ahead and got back up into a wheel well and flew all the way back to Los Angeles, risking death.
Yeah. I mean, now you mention it, probably would have been better to get in an airplane, you know, and sit in a seat and fly like that, right?
Yeah, to sit in a seat and have them bring you food.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't think about it at that time because probably I had a lot of cash on me, right? You know, maybe I was afraid they was going to look at me or something like that. But I don't know.
Yeah, but you got to do it to buy it in a bank.
I could have deposited a bank, but I mean, like, I want to get back to L.A. I didn't want to hang around Pittsburgh.
Well, I got to get one thing better.
Steve wants to know what your problem is.
I have no problem. I think it's probably because there's maybe a World Series or something was on.
Well, what World Series was that?
Oh, like, I don't know, name one.
No, wait a minute.
Hey, Steve, I can't understand anything you're saying, man. You know,
that's okay, Steve, honey. This is Daryl Roby. He's my brother. He's talking to us from Terminal Island Men's Prison in Long Beach, California, near San Pedro, California, I should say. So, you stowed away going back to L.A. in the wheel well of a jet because you just didn't think of buying a first-class ticket, even with $100,000 on you.
Well, I mean, the $100,000 is bound to attract attention. And then I'd probably have a lot of problems.
Well, then we get back into the discussion. Why didn't you open a bank account, a checking account, and so on? You didn't want to hang around any longer than you had to?
No, I didn't want to get out of town.
And you didn't want to take a bus?
Oh, I should take a bus. It's hard to explain, but
Well, all right, honey. I love you, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Yeah, you guys going to come visit?
Oh, yeah, we're going to come out. When's the big open house?
It's going to be the Kentucky Derby weekend. It's going to be the Kentucky Derby weekend.
All right, we'll be out that weekend. All right, honey, bye-bye.
Okay. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, what are you having to do?
By the way, I sent you that model airplane that I made, right? I sent it in bubble wrap.
Oh, okay. Thank you, I'm a David.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's my brother, Daryl. He sent the model airplane in bubble wrap.
Yeah, and I'm going to think about that.
Steve doesn't know. He's not too good at making model airplanes, so he sent the box to Daryl, and Daryl made it, and now he shipped it back, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to tell people you made it?
Well, yeah, sure, of course. Why do you have to say that?
Okay, just curious. It sounds... I mean, you didn't make it. Daryl, my brother, made it, and you're going to tell people you made it. All right. It's fine.
I don't want to say that.
What?
Why would I want to say that then?
I don't know. I just... I don't know. And now you've announced it on the radio, so...
Bobby Dooley's Wardrobe by Loverboy Incorporated.
The Bobby Dooley Podcast is a presentation of Siempre Incorporated, executive producer Phil Henry on the Sideshow Network.
I mean, I got a big one, right?
It doesn't matter, Steve. It's not that big of a deal. I don't care.
But I did not make it.
I know. It's not that big of a deal, honey.
But I did not make it.
I know that. I don't care. I don't care.
But you make it bigger?
I don't give a fuck, Steve. I'm sorry, Lisa. I don't give a fuck. Do you understand?
Yeah, but you don't care to make it.
I don't give a shit. Who cares? Good. You made it. He made it. Doesn't matter.
Maybe you make it?
Oh, fuck.
Shut up, will you, Dooley?
You didn't make it.
I didn't give it. I don't have to make it. Shut up. I'll bust your nose again.
You didn't bust my nose.
What?
You didn't bust my nose.
No, I busted your nose. You want me to do it again?
No. Man, I didn't know it, though.
Would you shut up? Shut up.
But I know I didn't do it.
Goddamn, Dooley, I've never seen a guy ask for it more than you.
I'm not trying. All I'm trying to say is not even do it.
I know that, but I don't give... Do you understand? No one here gives a shit. No one here gives a shit, Steve. No one in this studio, no one in the audience gives a shit.
Did you name it?
What?
Did you name it?
Oh, fuck.
God damn it, Dooley, would you shut up?
I didn't do it, though. You know, I didn't do it, though.
I'm going to ignore you.
No one's going to pay attention to you, Dooley.
Did you just say it? Did you say it?
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut up, Steve.
I am. I'm going to shut up. I guess what? Did you do it? See? I told you.
Dooley, shut your mouth.
I told you no.
Shut your mouth, Dooley.
I swear to God, Steve, you are a real...
Please stand by. We've forgotten to put on the national anthem because Steve Dooley and his bullshit. The national anthem follows immediately.
See what you did, Steve?
I didn't do anything.
Yes, you did, you...
Just...
Stand by for our national anthem, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so very sorry.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Yes, you did. You caused all of this, you...
Did you say that?
Do you want me to commit suicide?
No, but did you say it?
Do you want me to commit suicide?